When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This week's episode of Wizards of Waverly Pod is brought to you by Pros. Skeptical about custom beauty? I get it. I am too. My feed is flooded with customized this and personalized that, all promising the moon about curing my acne and my dry, frizzy hair. But when Pros says custom, they actually mean custom to you and your needs, not a one-size-fits-all masquerading as custom. Pros is so confident that you'll love your results that they're offering my listeners an exclusive trial offer so you can see the difference custom care can make. 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/wizards. That's pros.com/wizards for your free consultation and 50% off your one-of-a-kind formulas. pros.com/wizards.
You know what, Genstone? I love watching and listening to Wizards of Waverly Pod. Where can I do that more?
So what you should really do if you want to get it every week and never miss an episode is follow on Apple or Spotify podcasts, really anywhere you get your podcast, David DeLuise.
You know what's fun? I've always watched us, yeah. But I listened to a pod for the first time on Spotify.
How was our audio?
It was good.
Because we talk over each other a lot. But if you want more of us talking over each other and talking about wizards,
follow us, and then that'll make things happen more, and then you'll get more.
All right. I hope you guys enjoy this week's episode.
Welcome to Wizards of Waverly Pod.
On this special episode of Wizards of Waverly
Pod, we have an amazing guest.
We have our one and only Gigi Hollingsworth, our resident mean girl, which really, by the way, we never really had another. Gigi was our one and only mean girl, really.
Right.
Because no one could compare. Skylar Samuels, welcome to Wizards of Waverly Pod.
Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you, guys. I'm so happy to see both of your faces. It's been a long time.
I know. It's been, 16, 17 years, something like that?
17 years.
Oh, my God. Wow. I think we weren't even 17 when we met. How old were you when you did the show?
I was, I think, freshly minted 13.
13?
Oh,
yeah.
Like,
Christina and I were 14.
An actual baby.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We weren't even 17 years old when we did this show.
And Skylar, you knew at 13 how to be like a real mean girl. You know what I mean? Like you were. And by the way, the crazy 10-minute sale was pretty much our pilot. That was the first episode that aired. And also, you had shot it a year prior. I mean, we shot all the first season before it aired. So we shot like, I don't know, 6 or 7 months, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And then it aired. So you had a little break in between there, right?
Oh, wow. Then in that case, I may have been 12 in that crazy 10-minute bell episode, which is truly insane.
Which also, too, like, you were so sophisticated at 12. Like, it blows my mind that you were a year or 2 years younger than Selena and me, because you looked so, like, put together and, like, poised, and we did not.
I love to get right to it. When you, do you remember the audition? You did not know about Wizards.
Can I take us back just a little bit?
Taking us back.
How did
Rewind.
You get into acting,
Oh,
Skylar?
Yeah.
Let's start there.
I started when I was pretty little, not as young as Selena, but I was about 6 or 7 when I started.
Yeah, that's how old I was when I started too.
Yeah, so I started at that age. But my first like real job, like, you know, legitimate acting job, was playing a mean, crazy child star on Drake and Josh. And that seemed to go over really well.
Yeah.
And then I sort of accidentally like ended up doing this shtick where I just played like a really mean girl on like a myriad of different shows for like 4 years. So it was like Drake and Josh kicked that off. And then it was in some order, maybe The Suite Life of Zack and Cody, mm-hmm. and then That's So Raven, and then Wizards. And I don't know why, but for some reason, I just was always the crazy mean chick. That was my thing from like 7 to 12 years old.
I know why. Because you did it really well.
You
had honed in on that. I don't know how or where you were able to zone in on that mean girl thing, because you did it really well, or else you wouldn't have been on all those TV shows. Well,
and
you know?
I feel like it's also like the smart person playing dumb. You know what I mean? Like so many of people that I know that got pigeonholed as playing like the dumb character were like Mensa. They were like really intelligent, like hyper intelligent people.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's the same for you because you're the nicest person. And so to play like such like a horrible character. I mean, we were talking about like the Tea Party episode, which we'll get there. We'll get there. Of just how you're like the loser crown and all that stuff. Like that's mean shit, you know? So, but, and like I said, you were all, you've always been so kind and sweet. So it's just so funny that like that was your pigeonhole.
Yeah.
What was your favorite before Wizards? Because obviously it's a Wizards rewatch podcast, so I don't want you to be biased. But from That's a Raven, Sweet Life, Drake and Josh, which one was your favorite one to shoot and why, if you can remember?
I think my favorite one to shoot was Wizards. I mean, I had fun on all
those
shows.
We'll pay you later.
I definitely had a lot of fun doing set school with Dylan and Cole. They were hysterical yeah. when I did Sweet Life. To like go to a day of school with them was wild. They were such like little class clowns and yeah. it was just like the three of us. So it was pretty funny. But doing Wizards was really exciting because I really loved Fred Savage and he directed Crazy 10 Minute Sale.
Yeah.
So I was like so excited to meet him because he was like a childhood hero. And it was just a fun energy on that set. Like you guys were all so nice and so welcoming. Like, I just remember, I feel like that episode, yeah, that was the first one that I did. Like, Selena invited me to have lunch with you guys, and she brought in, like, In-N-Out Burger and was, like, asking me questions, trying to get to know me. And I just was like, these people are so nice. It was just so warm and welcoming, and it was fun that I got to do a few episodes because I always love that group of people.
Did you know that your character was named after one of our writers?
I didn't know that, but today it's funny. I was doing some research to jog my own memory and I kept seeing Gigi, the writer. And I thought, oh no, was that who that was based on?
Yeah.
Well, not as a character, because Gigi McCreary, who is our writer, is also lovely. But right. that was kind of their, like, our writers love to do inside jokes of like putting their own names, whether it was in shops on like Waverly Place or whether it was on, you know, spells or is your character. And Gigi mentioned when we had her on the show, she was like, yeah, they named me after the bitchy character. What the fuck? Like they were so, she was like, what the hell, guys? But it was sort of like a crack, like writer's room sort of joke between them. So tell us, you were going to ask.
Well, I just realized that you, even though Wizards of Waverly Place wasn't like a thing or a show, but you were on Drake and Josh, Zach and Cody, and
That's a Raven.
Mm-hmm. So you already knew the spiel and what it was, just that this wasn't out yet, right? So you had already that feel. But what I love to hear, just as an actor, is what was your audition process like?
Oh gosh, it's been so long. I mean, I think if I remember it correctly, they always held them at Hollywood Center Studios,
yes.
right? Like it was always on the lot. And I think when I auditioned for That So Raven and Sweet Life and Wizards, it was like old school where you had your first read and then they kept you and you waited. And then you would like read again for the writers, you know, like same day usually. And then like within a day or two, you knew if you got the job. Like it was always very exciting,
yeah.
Like a real-time competition kind of. I remember doing that a couple of times, just like spending many, many hours on Las Palmas, like at the stage and, you know, going through that. But it was so fun because I think that's what I loved about doing sitcom stuff as a kid was it was like, you know, the energy of going on stage, there's like a live element. And even in the audition process, it's kind of like that, like just sort of the fun jitters that you get when you're like before an audience and you want to make them laugh, which I've always loved to do. So it was fun. It was fun all the way through. Like the audition process was fun. Filming was fun. The fact that this show is still on TV almost 20 years later is insane, but also fun. I mean, the whole thing has been just a highlight of my professional life.
Because you played all the mean girls and stuff, when people like recognize you when you're out, were they like, you're so mean? Were they mean to you or?
No one was mean to me in real life. I did get, oh, you're not mean in real life. Like, they were surprised, which I was like, well,
obviously.
Yeah, that would be terrible if I were like Gigi in real life. That girl is the worst. But I think what's so crazy is the fact that I'm almost 30 and I feel like I look pretty different than I did 17 years ago. And it is amazing that of all the stuff I've done in the last 20 years that I've been acting, this is the number one thing I get recognized for. It's like crazy to me. I'm like, how can you tell that I'm the same person? They're like, oh, you look the same, which the older I get, the more I take that as a compliment. But it's just so crazy to me that I'm like, that is the one thing that time and again, they're like, were you Gigi on Wizards of Waverly Place? I'm like, yes, but how can you tell? How did she?
I think, because I've thought the same thing. I'm like, what is that? That it just like sticks in someone's like brainstem or something. It's so like visceral for people, which is such a blessing as a performer because you just love what you do and you want people to love it too. But it's like, I feel like what it is, it's two things. I think this is my theory, at least for whatever it's worth. You can also shove it to the curb as well. But it is the fact that it's at such a like a pivotal time for people because like they're growing up at that age. And then also Disney just reran the crap out of them. Yeah. So it was like repetition. It got like in people's brains. So I think that's part of it because yeah. I have the same thing where it's like people – no matter what you do, and we'll get to it, but you've done some amazing things beyond Wizards, but it's like, for some reason, it's just really stuck in people's brains, which is, like I said, is such a blessing. But
well, I mean, now we have people watching it on Disney Plus, and you have millions and millions yeah. and millions of people watching it. I mean, what is the subscription base to Disney Plus? You know, I mean,
I don't know.
It's a lot. There's a lot of people.
We're not seeing any of that. It doesn't matter.
No, I know there's no money there, but you know, I just want to say, like, there's one thing that really stuck out, like your cronies, the two.
Yeah, the wannabes.
They were so funny because the thing that I always remember is when they got a nose job to look just
and
like
the
you.
The cheek implants that were yeah, like.
But the cheek implants were on the forehead that were going to fall down.
Oh, my Lord.
But when they did the nose job thing, you said something and they were like, ow, ow.
Oh, my gosh. That's right. I mean, thinking back on it now, I'm like, that was kind of edgy for like middle school or high schoolers, however old we were supposed to be, to have had like plastic facial
surgery. Yeah, right.
And even like wearing mini skirts and high heels. That was probably the first time I wore high heels was on that show. And I think there was those stairs at the school.
Right? I hated the stairs.
My fear, so I'm in shoes I've never worn before. It was like putting like a baby giraffe in stilts. Like I had no idea how to walk in those shoes and then like trying to get up and down the stairs and like not wanting to fall in front of like a stage full of people. But now I'm like, well, all the kids who are 13 look like adults. So maybe Wizards was ahead of its time.
It's interesting
that way,
because
this week's episode of Wizards of Waverly Pod is brought to you by Pros. Skeptical about custom beauty? I get it. I am too. My feed is flooded with customized this and personalized that, all promising the moon about curing my acne and my dry, frizzy hair. But when Pros says custom, they actually mean custom to you and your needs, not a one-size-fits-all masquerading as custom. With Pros, your formula can't exist without you. Pros gets personal, covering everything from your skin and hair concerns and how your diet, exercise, and stress levels affect you to get to the bottom of what's really impacting your hair and skin health. I really love beauty that helps from the inside out. They even asked me about my surroundings, which at first I thought was super weird, but then I remembered LA is a desert, and there's smog and pollution, and Pros really helps customize my hair and skincare to cater to those specific needs. Since I switched to using Pros custom shampoo, conditioner, pre-shampoo scalp treatment, and their skin serum, and so many more great products, I've noticed that my hair is more moisturized, shinier, fuller, and less frizzy, and my skin, oh, it couldn't be clearer or brighter than ever before. But don't just take my word for it. In a third-party double-blind dermatologist-supervised controlled clinical study, aka the golden standard in research studies, Pros proves that personalization works better than off-the-shelf alternatives. Pros is so confident that you'll love your results that they're offering my listeners an exclusive trial offer so you can see the difference custom care can make. 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/wizards. That's pros.com/wizards for your free consultation and 50% off your one-of-a-kind formulas. pros.com/wizards.
I remember.
Dude, those stairs were vicious.
Yeah,
man.
But not just, I mean, the way that you walked in that, now that you're saying you hadn't walked in heels before, I could see that you were very, I don't want to say malicious, but you were like, I'm walking now.
Meticulous.
Yeah meticulous yeah. with it. It's very interesting to hear that.
And I feel you too, because I was one of the episodes we were rewatching. I had this like beginning thing where I run down and I have all these lines coming down the stairs and you can see me looking at my feet and I'm not wearing heels. So kudos to you. But I'm literally like looking at my feet being like, don't trip as I'm trying to say this whole like barrage of lines. And the Disney energy being so quick and high and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that in heel, it's like the Ginger Rogers quote. You were doing it high energy, down the stairs and in heels. So
that's the best training, is like working on a Disney show, because it's like doing this 24/7, but right. like tenfold, where it's so many different plates in the air, and just to like stick the landing. It was the best learning to start there, for sure.
I feel like it's Disney, like kid shows and soaps.
Well, I walked in heels really in the Wizards movie. I had to walk in heels, but they were platform. But because, you know, like I think Marie and I were supposed to switch and it was just a close or something. And I like almost twisted my ankle. It's not easy.
No.
It's hard to walk in heels, you know.
Well, like I said, Ginger Rogers, backwards and in high heels, you know. So what was your favorite episode to shoot? Because you did mostly through the first season and then a little bit in the second season with graphic novel. I think that was your only episode in the second season. But what out of all the episodes you shot?
I'd say it's a tie. I definitely remember the pilot was very exciting, doing Crazy 10-Minute Sale. Because like I said, I was like such a big Fred Savage fan. And I just like really looked up to him and always wanted to direct when I was older. And I just thought it was so cool that he was doing that. And it was on that episode that I found out, like, I just was asking him like so many questions about his life. And he told me that he went to Stanford. And that's how I decided that's where I wanted to go.
You're
to college.
Kidding.
That's where that decision came from. I was like, okay, great. And I remember coming home from work and be like, Mom, I got to go to Stanford. She was like, okay, first of all, you're 13. Second of all, like, yeah. that's really hard to do. So like, maybe we should, you know, like, keep that in mind. But you know, when the time came around 5 years later, I was like, nope, still want to go to Stanford. That's where I wanted to go. And Fred helped me with like my essays and application to college, like because of Wizards, which is really wild that that came full circle. But the episode I remember the most was, I think it was the tea party episode.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I get that cake in my face.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, God.
Oh my God. That girl, she threw it so hard.
Mean. She was
I think
mean.
Maybe Kelsey tossed it maybe, but oh my God, I was sneezing chocolate for like 2 weeks. Like it was so intense because it was kind of like at an angle. So if you really do it just right, you can have frosting all the way in your sinuses. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Said that because
I remember
rewatched that and I was like, oh my God, Skylar, whoever was told to put it in your face was like, we're not doing this more than once. You get that all the way up her face and you put it in there. And it was like, yeah. If I was the director, that I would have been like, that looked like it hurt.
It looked like it hurt rewatching it.
Yeah. So
we were saying in that episode too, we were like, yes, of course, like the loser crown was so awful and stuff like that. But we were talking about, we were like, two wrongs don't make a right. Like, why are we like coming back? I mean, it's very Disney Channel to do like a pie in the face, cake in the face, whatever. Right. But like, we were like, that's so mean in return. We're supposed to be bigger than that. But no, two wrongs made a right in that episode.
I wanted Harper to like not do that, to not put the crown on you. You know what I mean? I wanted her to be the bigger person and just be like, you know,
we were
let's
freshmen
not,
in high school.
I understand. Like, I understand. But now I'm like, oh my goodness, that cake went right in your face. That was intense. And then I'm not sure if you with your hands, you took out the so you could see, you know. And you had to, I mean, it takes a long time for the audience. You know, we're going to shoot a scene for, you know, it could take an hour or a little less, but you had to have that on your face the whole time because they didn't take it off. We only did that once, correct?
Yes, I think they had one cake and just like the reset would have been impossible. So I feel like we shot up until that point a bunch. And then like once they had it, it was go time. And, you know, she threw that cake like she meant it, guys.
Oh.
It landed. At least
it was one.
So I don't think they needed more than one take.
Oh, yeah. Your sinuses couldn't take another
take. You did such a good job. I can't believe you were 12 or 13. Yeah. That's just amazing. And by the way, kudos on going to Stanford. That is amazing that you got in and that you went there. And what a wonderful thing. And what a wonderful thing to our audience to say, if you have a dream, you can make it a reality. Yeah. You know, if you put your energy into that, then it can happen.
And the fact
you know?
That you had the focus and perspective at 12, 13, and then like Fred helped, like that's just so lovely.
Yeah.
Like that warms my heart that like that was your experience. But, you know, I love that. What did you major in at Stanford?
If I hadn't done Wizards, I don't know. I don't think I would have even thought of Stanford. It wasn't on my radar, but it sort of like planted this thing in my brain. Like once I became a teenager, that was like my, you know, albeit goal. And it's just like, if I had done this show, that may never have happened. So it's just pretty wild how all that played out. But I ended up getting a major in their like liberal arts major, which is called like science, technology and society. It was basically like you got to take a sampler platter of all that Stanford had to offer. And it was awesome because I'm like, I'm here for 4 years. I got to max this out. So I got to take all different kinds of classes and different disciplines with different professors. And it was awesome. I had such a great time.
So you put acting on hold. You're like, I'm going to go to school. Or did you still audition a little bit here or there? Or was that like, I'm going to school now. I'm not going to move in. Because when I was doing Third Rock from the Sun,
he mentions it almost
Joey Gordon-Levitt they wrote him out because he wanted to go to college. And then I saw him at Hugo's and I was like, so he only went there for like a year or 2 years.
Oh, Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Yeah. And then I was like, what happened? He's like, everybody was just partying. Nobody was focusing on school. So he came back and he did like Brick or something. He's doing great. But did you stop? Did you put acting on hold during that time?
So I've never press pause in either part of my life because I'm insane. I just like having a lot of things going on. So even when I did Wizards and those other Disney shows, I was always in regular school full time. So I was never homeschooled. So I would like tell my teachers I was leaving for a week to go, you know, do these shows, and somehow I got away with it. But I was in school the whole time, you know, while working as a kid and a teenager. And when I was in college, I just did the same. I thought, well, I've done both so far. We'll see what happens. Like the movie that I did in college, I did Sharon 1-2-3 with our friend Aaron.
Yeah, Aaron and Hayes. The
Duff.
So good.
Like I did my self tape for The Duff in my dorm room and had to like my dorm room, which was like the size of a shoebox, like took off my bed sheet, hung it up, had my roommate like read lines with me. You know, I just kept finding a way to make it work. And now that I'm done with school, work seems so easy because now it's my only job that I have to focus on.
Yeah.
So it's much easier now. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. And it's so cool that your teachers back in high school worked with you. That was one of the reasons I had to be homeschooled, because I was going to school back in Texas when I was like auditioning as a kid. And they were like, what are you doing? I mean, it was Texas. So they were like, what are you doing? Why are you leaving 6 months out of the year? And so eventually they just stopped. They were like, you guys can't do this anymore. And so my mom was like, okay, we'll just homeschool you. So that's so nice that your high school teachers worked with you through that, because it's so much better, I feel like, to go to that environment. And like, I missed the college experience, right? Because I mean, my 20s were a mess. I was in and out of hospitals. I was like doing a lot of stuff with just personal stuff. But I ended up going to college with like community college and then transferring to like a 4-year online because it was like during the pandemic. So I love hearing these like classic like dorm room college experiences, trying all the different classes. I love that you got to have that not only high school but college experience.
That was really the thing I wanted to do was college, because I also, you know, I grew up in Los Angeles, so I think I had a slightly different like home field advantage. Sure. Like people worked in the business. Like that was normal. Like lots of people, like Mark Sandrowski, I went to school with his daughter.
Yeah.
So it was so funny. Like one of the episodes he did, I was like, aren't you Mackenzie's dad? Like, what are you doing here? Like it was, you know, such kind of a sort of odd thing to grow up there and be working there. So Stanford kind of reset like the classic sort of idealized version of college years in school. And you know, I learned how to be a mean girl like Gigi from the girls I went to school with in real life. So, you know, college was a nice change of pace.
Understandable.
You're such a well-rounded human being.
She's always been this way. I'm not
your parent, but I'm very proud of you. You know, your parents have done a very good job. I'm very happy. That's awesome. And it's interesting, just kind of off that topic, but you know, when you had said it was a wonderful experience to audition in person and have the audience a part of the show, very much so. But now, like you said, in your dorm room, we put everything on tape now. We like don't see anybody.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if I'm doing an audition, I'll, you know, do it with my wife and she's reading the other lines, but it's just me. I mean, I do get to do 20 takes, you know, so I'm happy with it. But it's interesting because we lose that energy from the room, you know,
which, that performer's energy.
Yeah,
you know
exactly. But now, what was that you auditioned for from in the dorm room?
Oh, The Duff.
For The Duff.
Duff.
Yeah, D-U-F-F. So I did that.
All right, I saw that movie. But wait, what was the show? You did a show, a series for a little while.
Nine Lives of Chloe King, right?
I did the Nine Lives of Chloe King while I was a junior in high school.
Okay,
and then I did the first season of Scream Queens while I was in college.
And was Abigail Breslin on that with you? Is that
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yes. And I just did a movie with her, the Italians. She is the coolest. I love her from Little Miss Sunshine.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She, you know, Little Miss Sunshine, she stole my heart, you know. And then I did this movie with her, and she's like a truck driver, though. She's like, Delaware's, what are you doing? Where are you going?
I just saw her actually at Jackie and Matt Linton. They have this like improv show called Pinot Noir, where it's like a. I don't know if you've heard about it, Skylar. It's so much fun. But they have like a guest star who's like the murder victim, and it's like a film noir improv, basically. And you drink a bottle of wine during the show. But I just went to one of their performances for that, and Abigail was there, and she was like putting a cigarette out, like.
I love her, Abigail. I love you. You're my favorite, and it was so great to do a movie. I played Uncle Sal with a missing tooth. I was in tracksuits. It was like, hey, how you doing? You know, it was so much fun.
Because you went from being a reoccurring on Wizards to the lead, number one on the call sheet on Nine Lives of Chloe King on Freeform, I guess ABC Family at the time. But so what did you, how did you transition, and what changed for you going from being a reoccurring, coming into a show versus leading your own show?
I was really lucky that I did a lot of reoccurring and guest starring stuff before that happened, because I feel like I really got to learn good examples of what like number one leadership looked like, and then also some bad examples of like, don't want to do that. And so, you know, I think like Selena was always a great example of someone who was like kind and inclusive and like easygoing, and that like she was definitely someone who I was like, okay, like she's a good leader. And, you know, I was lucky to work with a couple other people that I thought like, okay, like if you're number one, like this is how you want to do it. And it was a big transition. I think it was hardest because, like I said, I was a junior in high school. So I just remember like having to do a lot of SAT prep while I shot that show, which was really crazy. Was really burning the candle at both ends on that one. But it was fun. It was exciting and nerve-wracking. But the one thing I did miss is, you know, it was a one-hour drama. Yeah. So you didn't have the same, like, energy of a comedy, which now I miss, especially, like, self-taping in the pandemic, like you were saying, David. Just, like, to be in a room of people performing, I do miss that very much. So that's the one thing I would love to get back to.
Yeah, single-camera 1 hour is very different for people daunting. Who don't know. It's it's long hours. Sometimes your call time is 2 in the morning and you're there. And, you know, it's shooting a lot of stuff. It's waiting around a lot. It's you being called in at 6 a.m. and not working till 6 at night. And, you know, there really is no, it's like shooting a movie and it takes a long time.
The fact that you led a show, which is a huge feat, and to have the pressure, especially as a teenager, of that sort of top-down like thing, right? Where because it's like you set the tone. You set the tone for the set and like what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. So to take that on your shoulders as well as just the normal pressures of being a junior in high school, kudos to you. You're either crazy, amazing, or everything in one.
I'm going with amazing. And I'm
crazy amazing.
Yeah, crazy amazing. But just you saying that you were the lead of a show doing SAT prep and going to school and doing all this stuff, I'm exhausted just from the thought of that.
Yeah, right?
Listen, I was awake, I think, from like halfway through 2010 until like the end of 2012. Like, I think I was just awake the whole time. There was just so much going on. Definitely a mix of crazy, but thank you. That's very kind.
Okay. Going back to Jamie Lee Curtis, who I'm a huge fan of. Amazing.
Yeah.
How was that? What was the experience like on working on that?
She is a badass. I mean, just such an incredible force of nature as a person, let alone like a performer. Like, few people can let it rip like Jamie does. Like, she is so, so freaking funny. And it was just amazing to watch her kind of show up and like command the room. But it was also kind of fun because I feel like when we did Scream Queens, she was just kind of coming back from having been out of the spotlight for a little while. And it was really fun because I was like, oh my God, like Freaky Friday was like a seminal movie for me, like as a teenager. So I was very excited to, you know, like work with her. But she was the most thoughtful person. Like, she would regularly leave like books in everyone's trailers with like inscriptions inside of what she thought you would like to read. Like, oh, I thought of you. I read this book. I think you would really like it. You know, and I adopted a dog while I did that show. And while I came into work like the first weekend after having the dog, and there was an enormous basket full of like dog toys and, you know, dog food and instructions on like how to be a good pet parent. Like, she just was the most thoughtful, loving person, and is just always a wonderful person to run into when I've seen her over the years. And then she like killed it and won an Oscar. And I'm just like, I cried so hard when she won. I was like, this is so well deserved. She's like, she's just the best.
Well, because you, I mean, you always want to see, I feel like it's pretty consistent that the people like her that have longevity in this business, they're always the kindest, most thoughtful, lovely people. And then it's like the 15-minute people that are kind of assholes because it's new. It's like
sometimes the people who've been around for a minute are buttheads too.
Well, they're cranky.
But, but I love that you slipped in. Is I'm going to school. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm doing that. I'm the show, and then and I just adopted a dog as well.
You're like, let me throw one more thing on there.
It's just amazing. Crazy, I'm so amazing. Impressed. And that's nice to hear. It is nice to hear when you're a big fan of someone and that they treat you well. Do silly, and you don't have to answer this, but what do you remember? What book she gave you? Was there a memorable book that she gave you? Or I mean, obviously, dog toys and treats and stuff is nice, but I'm just curious.
There was a book about it was like transporting something about Venus, like the painting. I think it was like there's a book where they're like transporting Venus somewhere to something. But then there was also, I want to say it was like a, she's a big photographer, you know, like as a hobby, like she's an amazing photographer, Jamie. And so there was, who's that incredible? Not, who's the old school female photographer whose name I'm blanking on?
What was the kind of photographs they took?
It was like black and white photographs. I want to say it was, yeah, like the woman who took pictures of like people in like the Great Depression and in the 30s, something like that.
Oh, geez.
I will fail that.
But it was like a history of like women and photography and America, just like really cool stuff that I just, you know, things I might not have come across otherwise, but it was just so thoughtful. Like she wrote a little note of why she thought you would like each book. And she did that for all of us on the show, which was amazing.
Dorothy Lange?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Dylan. Dorothy Lange. Okay. I don't know if I'm a big Diane Arbus fan. She did a lot of like sort of people on like the outskirts of society in black and white photos. Really like, you know, amazing photographer. But that's one of my favorite female photographers. So I'm always, and I love black and white. So I'm definitely going to go home and kind of go down the Dorothy Lange rabbit hole. So thank you.
But if you could have your way, like what would you, 1 hour movie, TV show? So what would you want right now? Like, and magic wand, make it happen.
I would say I just finally got to binge Poker Face and I loved it.
So
and
funny.
I thought that to me was like the best of both worlds because every episode was like a little movie, but also the way the whole thing was woven together was just so clever and fun and dark and weird. And it just like, it ticked every box where I was just like, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know what to call this. I don't know what genre this is. I don't even know how to describe it, but whatever it is, it's amazing. That kind of thing would be so fun to do. Like, I like a little murder, but a little camp.
Well, it's like a dark comedy film noir, you know.
What's her name?
Natasha Lyonne. Okay, oh, my God. Natasha Lyonne.
I love that show. Took me a second because it's the one where she has the same day over and over, but it's different, right?
No, it's not the same
day. No, that's Russian.
No. The Poker Face is the guy that does what are they called?
But is she the red hair that was on that show?
Yeah, and she's done a million things.
Yeah, so I was at a party one time and she was there. And she was really cool. I was not that cool, you know, but she was like,
you're pretty cool.
I'm talking, and there's this sushi place.
She has the Abigail Breslin thing.
Yeah, but she's like, there's this sushi place that's really good. And I said, oh, where is it? And she's like, yeah, I can't tell you because, you know, everyone would then know where. And I was like, where's the sushi? I want to know where the cool people go.
She's such like a classic, Royale New Yorker.
I understand that now. Like, if there's a certain place that's really good, like, I get the idea of wanting to keep that a little bit of a secret now, you know, of a place. But okay, so now I have to watch Poker Face because I watched the other show, it's so good.
With Jamie Lee Curtis too. The it's gonna bug me that I can't remember. It's with Daniel Craig, Jamie Lee Curtis, like Chris Evans.
Knives Out.
Knives Ryan Out. Johnson. Thank you. The Knives Out. It's the guy who does the Knives Out. And I'm sorry, I don't remember his name right off the top of my head, but I'm terrible with names. Speaking of names,
great movie.
You did Scream Queens, you did Freak Show, which was one of my favorite seasons of American Horror Story because I love like the 20s, 30s, like circus thing. How was it working with Ryan Murphy?
Yeah.
And then which one did you enjoy more or for different reasons?
Working on American Horror Story was like just as scary making it as it was watching it.
Why? Fair enough. Why?
It's one of those things.
What were you scared of?
It was really like this, the level of accuracy for Freak Show in particular. It's like the sets, the costumes. And then the two actors I worked with the most were Finn Wittrock and John Carroll Lynch, both of whom are just like amazing. Two of the most brilliant people I've ever acted with. And they played like the creepy clowns. Like John didn't even speak at all. He didn't speak. And he was so scary, just like silent. And he would groan and he was in this like crazy clown costume. And Finn like did speak and like wanted to be like him. He was like the scary clown protege. And they were just so convincing watching them act that I would sometimes like forget that it was fake. Like I was genuinely afraid. I'm like, wait, hold on, this is not real. But like, you know, you just sometimes watch people and you're so captivated you kind of like forget where you are and what you're doing. That was my experience with them. It was like, they're too good at this.
But wow. I feel like that's one of those things where like you hear people say you're only as good as your scene partner, because you, when you allow yourself to like listen and respond to who you're with, when you're with someone that talented, they make the job easy.
Yeah.
You know, they make it so easy to just be in the moment with them because they're so heightened. And John Carroll Lynch as Twisty the Clown, oh my God, was terrifying. And without really saying anything, like it was amazing. So I'm so glad you got to like have that experience with, I mean, both those actors are incredible. Yeah.
I recently worked with Lindsay from Ned's.
Mm-hmm.
We did a movie together. And we were in the scene and I was like, don't think I've been this present with someone or had someone this present. So what you had said about you're as good as your scene partner, she just brought my performance way through the roof because I was like, this is so, there's the connection that it was very, not that all the people I haven't acted with in the past, you know, there's good experiences, but it just really hit
me. Well, she's such a present person, Lindsay, but sometimes it can go on the flip side, which I'm sure we've all had that experience.
Where
someone's so bad that it's distracting. I'm not going to name names, but there was like this like movie that I did where the hot guy or the love interest, whatever, I'm supposed to be like in awe of him, what have you. And he was just so wooden that I remember like looking at him and just being like, I would like mess up some takes because I was just so distracted at how bad it was.
That's where you ass off.
Yeah. And I did. I, you know, tried to be attracted to him as much as possible, but mostly I was confused. Yeah. Like, so yeah, I mean, it goes both ways on that. So you've made the switch from LA to Atlanta. So what caused you to make that switch? How's auditioning being an actor and also just being a human in both of those places since you grew up in LA?
You know, I came to Atlanta to do The Duff. That was the first time I worked here, which was in 2014. So now 10 years ago, and had a really great experience doing that. And then I came back again in 2017 to do a show called The Gifted, which was like in the X-Men universe. And when I came to do that show, I was just like at that point, you know, I was like 23, like classic quarter life crisis where I just was like, LA's weird. And I don't know, it's all weird. I don't like it here. I got to get out and shake it up. And, you know, when I came to do this show, it just like changed my entire life. I had such an amazing experience. The group of people were awesome. You know, it was like, you know, the show was like classic network superhero 1 hour show. Sure. But like literally every day at work was like summer camp. Like everyone got along so well, you know, every Friday after wrap, like the entire cast and crew would all go out to like a bar or like an arcade and hang out. And it was just like such a wonderful experience. And to have that outside of LA, I think I discovered like, oh, like here you like go to work and then you leave and like you leave work at work. And it was such a refreshing experience that I was like, okay, I can get on board with this. And it was during that time that I met my now husband. So, and he's from Georgia. So I live here now with him. And, you know, it's just kind of crazy how like one job or one choice can like end up completely dictating the course of your life.
You're very much following the universe's suggestions. You know what I mean? Like how you said Wizards led to this. That superhero show led to your husband. And so were you guys doing long distance?
First, like 3 years that we had known each other, he was like really shy and I couldn't get a read. I was like, this guy doesn't like me at all. I don't know what his deal is. And then we reconnected again in 2021. And I was like, I'm going to try this one more time because I really want to go on a date with this guy. And I'm going to convince him. Like, I know he's shy, but like I can win him over. And lo and behold, 3 years later, I got my date. And after that, it was, you know,
How did you win him over?
Yeah. How did you go? We're dating now. We're going on a date now.
Yeah, what her
did
voice
you
do? Got that low. Yeah.
My brother Peter. That's how my brother Peter talks. Did you just say we're going on a date? How did you make that happen?
Well, I think I was just a little bit braver because I too was kind of shy and had absolutely zero social skills. Like Jen, you were saying, like people in our generation are like so advanced in some ways and then like so behind in others.
Yeah.
I had like zero skill when it came to like dating boys. Like I didn't understand how to do it.
Girl,
was, like,
you
I
didn't have any time to
it.
Date and like
no,
boys.
I mean,
Lord.
I had no practice. So in my mid-20s, I was like, I really got to figure this out because like, I don't know how to do it. Everyone else makes it look so easy. But, you know, the fact that we were like friends and kind of knew each other for a few years before, and then we didn't see each other for a couple of years. So when I saw him again, I was like, okay, we're not chickening out this time. Like we're going to be brave. And I'm glad I was, you know, it was a good lesson in just like, don't be afraid to be rejected. Cause like most likely the other person wants to hang out. You know, They're just shy too. So like, get over yourself, be brave.
Yeah. Yes, it did. And you're clearly glowing. So you're very happy. Congratulations. And even if it doesn't work out, taking a risk, you know, you learn from it. You know, you I think it's a really
the worst
nice thing.
Somebody can say is no. It's like, yeah, rejection sucks. But
well, no. The worst somebody can say is no response.
Oh my God, don't get me started. I just had this conversation about how I was like, look, it's disrespectful, it's unkind, like you need to just respond in a reasonable amount of time.
Right.
But I mean, our generation, we're all over the place on social skills and like social media stunting all of us and the internet stunting all of us. So we're all just trying to figure it out.
Yeah. Well, it's nice that I'm married and happy and my wife Yulia and my dog Tony, I couldn't be happier in my life. So it's nice that you have found someone that you're happy with. I'm happy for you. I'm single
and I have cats and I'm traveling solo and I'm loving it.
Yeah, good.
I'll die alone. It's fine.
Stop it.
It's fine. So you talked about like when you were a kid watching Fred Savage, you wanted to direct and you've talked about how you want to do like sort of a dark comedy and all those kind of things. Where are you at in your life right now, both professionally, personally? What are the kind of things that occupy your mind in your day?
And have you directed?
On a small scale, but not in the way that I'd want to. When I was in college, I directed a lot of music videos for my friends who were like entering hip hop competitions, which is hysterical because I'm like the squarest of squares. And so like, but I had friends who were musicians or like rappers in college, and they would do submissions to like World Star Hip Hop or like different contests. And I was like, okay, cool. Like I'll shoot your music video. You know, like that was how I kind of spent my college years, just for fun doing stuff like that. And then I sort of fell into writing in the last couple of years. I did a rom-com podcast through the Rom-Com Pod channel with these two girls, Becca Freeman and Rachel King, who are just awesome. And then we adapted the podcast into a TV pilot. Nice. So I wrote that. And then from there, that kind of kicked off like hoping to, you know, keep writing in that world and direct. And now I'm working with Hallmark, doing like a series of like murder mystery movies for them, which has been really fun. And the goal is to direct a couple of those down the line. Which is great learning too, because they move so fast. You make a movie in 15 days.
Yeah.
So it is like, you know, film school. Like you got to know how to do it and move it and go quickly. And, you know, kind of sometimes you have limited resources, but how like get what you need. It's been great learning. So I'm sort of shadowing now, and then hopefully I'll have a real director.
So awesome.
Just like soap operas and Disney Channel were kind of its own like machine of knowing, having a formula. Hallmark is just like that, where it is a formula. They know how to iron them out. They know what they need to be. So what a great just throw you right in there and learn. And so I love that you're not only getting to act in those, but also shadow and fulfill this other dream. And what a safe space, I hope, but I'm sure it sounds like it, to do that.
Yeah, it's amazing. The woman who directs the movies, the series that I'm working on is called like the Aurora Tea Garden Mysteries. So it's like a prequel. There was an existing version before that Candace Cameron was in. And now this is like the early version. They're like, it's vintage. It's set in 2008. I'm like, okay.
You're like, shut up. You're like, Wizards was set in 2008. Like, come yeah, on.
Playing it fast and loose with the word vintage, but okay. But it's set in, you know, the early 2000s. And our director is this amazing woman named Jessica Harmon. And she was an actress, you know, like as a kid and young adult. Yeah. And now she's an incredible director. And she's just the best. Like, it open book. Like, everyone there, like, wants you to learn and ask questions. And it's wonderful. It's such a great group of people, and I learn a ton. It's like free film school, so it's
that's so great. And my brother Peter directs Hallmark and Lifetime movies, so if you ever, when he does a lot in Vancouver. I'm not sure where you shoot yours. Maybe it's there in Vancouver. So if you want me to put you in touch with him, I'm sure Peter Skyler's gonna call you. He's you could shadow him maybe, because he When Calls the Heart is what he's directing now. That show.
Oh, yeah.
Which is great. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So,
well, we shoot in BC, so I'll have to find Peter. That's awesome.
Life has been like full circle moments. And so to me, I'm like, the ultimate, hearing this, I'm like, the ultimate full circle moment is I would love to be directed by you at some point and just see all of your insights coming together.
That would be amazing.
Right? Like, just completely full circle.
I could be directed by Skylar as well. That would be magical. That is so awesome.
I would love to, David.
I love it.
Well, is there anything else that you want to mention or talk about just before we let you go? Thank you so much, by the way, for coming on the podcast.
We appreciate
it's been so nice seeing your face and reconnecting after 17 years.
Oh my gosh. I know. So wild. No, I was just so happy when I saw your message, and I love that you guys are doing this. And I saw that there's maybe like a reboot. It's coming back.
Yeah, David and Selena are doing a sequel. And hopefully down the road, you know, Harper and Jerry get to jump in there as well, which would be really fun.
Yeah.
I think
that's exciting.
The fans are excited. So that's, you know, it's all about the fans. So we want them to be happy and, you know.
Yeah. And it's David Henry's thing. So hopefully he gives the fans what they want.
Yes, exactly. Thank you so much for being here. We were so happy to visit with you. And again, I'm a parent, and I just have to say, I'm so proud of you. You're so amazing. Like, all of this stuff and the things that you've achieved in your life. I'm very, very happy for you.
Yeah.
Thank you guys.
It's good to see you just glowing and happy. And again, you're just crazy amazing.
Oh, thanks, Jen. You're my new hype woman. Thank you.
Anytime. Call me anytime. Anytime, Skylar.
All right, Skylar, you take care. And everyone out there in Wizardland, goodbye.